Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Martin Jarman, the new athletic director at UCLA, is kind enough to join us here. Martin, thank you so much for taking the time. What has this whole process been like for you? I would imagine you're not even in LA yet.
Well, thanks for having me. The process, in a word, has been a whirlwind. It's been exciting, exhausting, but and virtual by and large. So very different, but I'm excited that it turned out the right way and I'm the guy.
Yeah, we're excited for you as well. And yeah, that was going to be my follow-up, is that I would imagine you've never conducted any sort of interview, or whether you're conducting it or being on the receiving end of the interview, in the same fashion that you've had to conduct these.
I hope this is the first and the last time that I have to interview strictly on Zoom. It was an interesting process as far as the connection through Zoom and all virtual. But everybody I met through the process was nice. It's just, you know, it's a new normal for us all with everything going on.
Was it even a little nerve-wracking because it wasn't going to be in person?
Yes, it was. You know, the first time you really think about it, you're worried about little things like, you know, with Zoom, you're looking at the camera, but everybody else is on the squares, and so you kind of have to find that balance. And you know, it's just a different thing, and it's so important. You usually don't have that much riding on an interview that is in that format that you're just not used to doing. So it's just something new and different for everybody, even the people on the committee. So you know, from that standpoint, it was different. But you know, connecting with people is connecting with people, no matter what the medium is, and I really liked and enjoyed the UCLA folks and what they were talking about and telling me how special UCLA was. And so that's why I got really excited. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, well said, certainly. And yeah, the Zoom thing about looking at the squares as opposed to the camera. I mean, listen, welcome to life in TV. We do it all the time, too. We always have to balance looking at our subject and looking at the camera. So, you know, if you ever need to do a little TV, Martin, now you're ready to roll.
Well, you're a pro with the around the horn and everything else, so you know you've got a lot of practice with it.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Well, I also have to deal with all my colleagues who are not necessarily always so nice on shows like that too. So it's a little snippier on around the horn than those interviews I'm sure you were doing. So Martin Jarman, who's joining us here now, the UCLA athletic director. Before I get into just kind of UCLA, right, and like your thoughts on that and the Pac-12 and just kind of your experience in the ACC and even the Big Ten, we were just having like a fun fan discussion here because of just everything that's been going on. And I'm curious to get your thoughts as a sports fan. Like, we were talking about like the hope of getting sports back, right, and trying to do it in a safe environment. But it just kind of led me to believe, like, as you're looking at sports now, we're watching a lot of old games. And, you know, I was talking about hope. And I ran into a game yesterday on NBA TV where it's like the Lakers against the Blazers, like 2000, game 7, Shaq and Kobe, they're down 20 points in the fourth quarter and they came back to win and go to the NBA Finals. So I was asking people, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, like, was there a game where Martin Jarman, the fan, watched and was most surprised that his team ended up winning? Was there a moment that you remember rooting for a team and you were like, oh my God, I can't believe my team won that game?
The first one that just came to mind. So my junior year in college, I played basketball at UNC Wilmington. We made the NCAA tournament for the first time in school history. I was a captain on that team my junior year in 2000. 2001, we lost in the tournament championship game. So we didn't go to the NCAA, we went to the NIT. And at that time, the CAA was a one team league, one bid league. So the year after I finished, UNC Wilmington got to the NCAA tournament as a 13 seed, and they played against SC, a 4 seed, in the first round. That game was tight, and at that time, we had never advanced past the first round. And Coach Jerry Wainwright, my coach, he always made the goal for the program: win the conference, get to the NCAA tournament, and the ultimate goal was always win one game in the NCAA tournament, advance one round in the tournament. So I'm watching that game in grad school, and it goes to overtime. And I didn't even think that we would make it to overtime. And then in overtime, we got stronger, and we end up beating SC. And that was one of the biggest upsets, you know, up until that time, 2002. And so I remember in regulation thinking, you know, we played so well, we were so close, and we're not going to pull this thing out. And then, by and large, we got it done. So that was probably the one. It's always nice to beat SC, and that was great.
So take me back there as you're watching this as a fan. Like, what was your reaction? Are you running around? Are you screaming? Are you fist pumping? What are you doing there?
Oh, no, I'm all nerves. I'm on the floor. I'm on the couch. I turn over. I fall down. And I can honestly tell you, when we won that game, it was bittersweet because, you know, part of me was jealous of that moment because we had just almost gotten there the year before. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, guys, why couldn't you have just done this the year before? But then the other part of me, I started crying because I was so happy. I was so proud of those guys and what they did for the university and that community in Wilmington that I fell on the floor. It was almost like MJ and Jordan's, you know, when he's on the ground with the trophy crying.
Yeah.
That's how I was in grad school in my apartment. I was just bawling, crying because I was so happy for those guys.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Martin Jarman, new athletic director at UCLA, joining us here. And look, your constituency is going to hope that you continue to beat USC, right? Like, I think that is the apropos part of the story here. So look, let's talk about UCLA and its programs. I guess once you were named AD, who was your first call to at UCLA?
Dan Guerrero. Dan is the current athletic director, been there 18 years, and in college athletics, he's a giant. I mean, what he has done for student athletes for years, and as an alum at UCLA, he's a legend in our business. So I called him and just told him it was an honor to be able to follow him, and I wanted to learn from him and have a smooth transition, and he was so gracious, and he was happy because I've known him for over a decade, so we've known each other, and it just is nice when the person that's in that chair to understand the nuance and the challenges is excited for you and wants to really help you start off on the right foot and get off on the right track. So he was my first call, and he was helpful. He said, hey, I'm going to be as helpful in to your process as you want me to be. And I said, Dan, look, we're going to do this together. And so he was awesome. He was my first call.
What were the conversations like with some of your coaches, or Chip Kelly? Let's start with him. Have you had a chance to chat with him?
Yeah, Chip was my next call. I called Chip and caught him, and we had a great conversation, and he was just telling me how excited he was. And, you know, he had kind of done his research on me as my name leaked in the process, and I certainly was doing the same thing about him. And, you know, the one thing we both agreed on is, you know, we have to be locked in together, and I didn't want him feeling like he's on an island and he's going to have an athletic director that's going to do everything we can to push this thing forward. So we had a great conversation, and that was really positive for me to be able to connect with him early on as soon as I was named and got it done to let him know that I'm here to help.
Now, do you know who he spoke to about you? And clearly you would know who you spoke to about him. Could you share that with us?
I don't know who all he spoke to, but I spoke to Jeff Hafley. Jeff Hafley's the head football coach here at Boston College, and I hired him in December, and he worked with Chip. He was on Chip's staff at the 49ers. So Jeff knows him well, and that was really positive because Jeff, the first thing he said is, oh, you and Chip, you're going to work well together, and so that's just really good to hear. So Jeff is the one I called. I don't know who all Chip called. I mean, Chip probably knows a whole lot of people in the business and the industry. So that was exciting. And I also called Mick Cronin. I called Mick and got his voicemail, and he texted me back, and that was funny. So we've been texting a little bit.
Yeah, we had Mick on recently. He's an interesting dude. He's pretty cool. Yeah, he's intense, though. He's intense. I don't know how much you know about him, but he is very intense. I like that about him.
You know, I watched his Cincinnati teams, and they were always hard-nosed, guard, play defense, play hard, win the right way. So I like what his Cincinnati teams were. I really didn't get to see UCLA last year, but I know what his teams represent, and he's hard-nosed, and I love it.
Martin Jarman, the UCLA AD, joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN.
Have you kind of had this discussion? I know Mike Bone sent you a congratulatory message as well. Do you get the sense? I don't know how familiar you are with Southern California. So excuse me, I'm not trying to be indelicate here by any stretch of the imagination. But do you get the sense how important the two teams here in LA are not only to just the Pac-12, but just West Coast sports being validated in general? Do you get that sense just kind of talking to people?
I'll tell you, I've gotten that sense a lot more in the past week. I do understand the importance of both UCLA and SC being strong, not only for the LA market, but also for the Pac-12, and quite frankly, for college athletics. College athletics is better when UCLA and SC are doing well. And so I do understand that. I have a better sense of that now. And I'm excited to get there and lean into that and make sure I do everything I can to help us move forward and represent the right way.
What do you make of this notion? It's become like a prevailing notion in the media. I don't necessarily buy into it, but this notion that the Pac-12 is behind the other Power 5 conferences. As someone who, look, you were in the Big Ten, you were the AD at an ACC school. Like, what do you make of that notion or that narrative that's out there?
I think that narrative is false. It depends, first of all, there are many aspects of a championship program and what you're looking at an athletics department or program. You know, I just know at UCLA, for example, 118 championships, national championships. That's second in the country. I mean, that's winning at an elite level. As far as the Pac-12, I'm not as familiar with the Pac-12. I've been in the ACC the last 3 years and the 15 years before that in the Big Ten. So I have to really hit the ground running and learn a little more just about the Pac-12. I haven't really fully been briefed yet, but I'm excited to lean in and dive in and learn more just about how we operate and what those resources are and what kinds of opportunities we have as a conference to move forward.
What can you take from your time in the ACC, things that they did as an overall conference that you feel like would play well potentially in any conference, but specifically the Pac-12 now that you're here?
I think that's the beauty of shared diversity of experience. You know, with my 15 years in the Big Ten and 3 years in the ACC, what you do is you learn and you listen, and there are things that you might be able to add at the table that a perspective that others may not have because they've been in the same conference. So I'm looking forward to really getting around the table with the Pac-12 and my colleagues, the other ADs, to listen and learn about what we're doing as a conference, what they're doing as institutions, and also to provide value or perspective that may be different. I've seen it certainly in the ACC with the infusion of newer athletic directors that came in from different conferences, and diversity makes you better. You know, it really does. So I hope that I can just make our conference a little better with my different perspective and background coming from the ACC and the Big Ten.
You mentioned diversity, and I know you've answered this question before, but I'd love for the audience to hear it. Like, you are the first Black athletic director at UCLA. That is certainly something that I think deserves plenty of recognition, and I'm happy that it's you, and I'm happy that it's someone young on top of the fact that it's someone who's a minority, as someone who's young myself. But what does that mean to you just when you hear it? Like, have you had a chance to kind of wrap your head around that?
You know, I certainly appreciate the historical perspective and the moment as far as becoming the first Black African-American AD at UCLA. But I long for those days where that's not even a conversation, that I'm not the first at Boston College. I'm not the first at UCLA. Because the reality is there have been many athletic directors and executives in sports that have come before me that are Black that have made it easier for me to. You know, whether it's at UCLA or somewhere else, there's so many giants that have come before me that it's humbling, and it really is. And I do understand the importance to others, especially ones that look like me or don't look like me, quite frankly, whether it's I'm young, whether it's I'm Black or whatever it may be. You know, I tend to think of myself, I'm just a kid from Fayetteville, North Carolina that's gotten the opportunity and maximized the most out of each opportunity that comes my way. So I understand it, the perspective, the historical, I appreciate it, but quite frankly, I just wish that, you know, one of these days we're not talking about being the first, and that's not the headline. More the headline is my experiences and the things that we've been able to accomplish before that have led me to this moment.
Well said. Martin Jarman joining us here, UCLA AD. All right, let's have some fun here. All right, we did all the serious stuff. Let's have some fun. You're a kid from Fayetteville, North Carolina. You played college basketball. What did you make of The Last Dance? How into it were you?
Wow, I was very into it, still very into it. But then this process picked up in the last 7 to 10 days. So I have not seen the last two episodes.
Oh,
so that is on the docket for this weekend, episode 9 and episode 10.
All right, spoiler alert: he beats the Jazz again. Okay, just letting you know. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know if I didn't mean to spoil it for you. What else does Martin Jarman watch? Like, take me inside your home when there's no sports. What's on? What's streaming? What are you watching on TV? What do you like to watch to just unwind and relax?
Well, it changes, but I would tell you right now, I just started Ozark. Not too long ago on Netflix, so I'm probably 7 episodes in, finishing up Handmaid's Tale.
Oh,
got about 2 episodes left in season 3 of that. And then my favorite show that I think I'm gonna, if I have the time, it just depends on if I have the time, but I may rewatch Mad Men. I love Mad Men, a big Mad Men fan, so I might start rewatching that on Netflix.
Okay, I asked this question of some of our guests yesterday. Who is the best fictional American president in a TV on a TV show or in a movie? If you had to pick one, who is your person?
Wow, that's a tough question. Oh my gosh, I don't know. That's probably the toughest question you've asked me. I don't know. I'm not sure. Who do you think?
See, there's a lot of different people you can go with. I like Andrew Shepard, which is the Michael Douglas character in American President. You don't get a lot of rom-coms with presidents. But if you want to go tough guy, Harrison Ford in Air Force One is a good one. Dennis Haysbert in 24 was a president. Selena Myers on Veep was a president. She eventually became the president. Martin Sheen in The West Wing. Like, there's a Independence Day, Bill Pullman. Like, you can go a bunch of different routes here.
Yeah, see, and you know way more than me. I knew like 2 of those. Harrison Ford, you can't go wrong with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, well, especially he tells the terrorist to get off his damn plane. I mean, like that's 90s action right there. Martin Jarman joining us here, the UCLA athletic director. Martin, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully once you get to L.A. and, you know, things are a little more normal, we can have you on again, and maybe we can even have you in studio at some point and chat with you and get to know you a little better. Stay safe, you and yours, and thanks again for taking the time.
I'm going to hold you to that. Love to get back on, and you do the same. Stay safe, stay sane, and we'll see you soon.
All right, take care. There he is, Martin Jarman, the athletic director at UCLA, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. That was fun. That was really fun.